It's real easy to know who to pick in your draft. Sometimes it can be more difficult knowing who not to draft. Will this be my most controversial video yet? Keep watching and find out. In this video, I'm going to give you a breakdown of the players that I'm avoiding in drafts at their current at draft position. That does not mean that if they fall some, I won't pick them up, but just based on where I see them going, their current ADP, and the question mark surrounding them, I'm choosing to go in a different direction. So the first guy I'm going to talk about is someone very near and dear to my heart, our finals MVP, and the star of my favorite team, the Milwaukee Bucks. That is Giannis Antetokounmpo. So why would I avoid Giannis, the star player of my favorite team? The areas in which he's hurting me a lot. And at an ADP of 7.3, I just don't think I can stomach the poor free throw percentage, the high turnovers, the low steals and blocks relative to the fact that he's a center. He's not getting me any threes, so that's essentially almost half of the categories. He's not really helping me. You're drafting him as a power forward center eligible player, so not only is he not getting me blocks, he's hurting my free throw percentage. And typically, if I'm going to grab a guy that hurts my free throw percentage, it's because he's going to help my block. And since I tend to punt assist and sometimes punt scoring, Giannis Antetokounmpo, to me, at an ADP of 7, just doesn't make sense. If he fell to me to 11 or 12, which is where I had him in my video just yesterday, I had him around the 9 to 11 range, and that video was the top 25 rankings. Make sure you check that out if you haven't yet. Giannis, I love you, but at this point for category leagues, I think you're going to cost me more than you're worth. The next guy on this list is a very controversial player, but when he's playing, he's one of the most productive point guards in the entire NBA. He deserves to be a first round or second round pick given his production. The problem is his production comes with a lot of headaches, a lot of question marks, and over the years, it's very hit or miss whether he's helping you or really hurting you. And of course, I'm talking about Kyrie Irving. Kyrie is not on this list due to lack of production. If you can see his numbers are amazing. He's getting you as many blocks per game as Giannis Antetokounmpo is, except he's getting you 90% from the free throw line. So it's not a production thing. When playing, Kyrie Irving is one of the most productive guards in the entire league. The problem with Kyrie is that he's very injury prone. He's been injury prone since college. He missed the majority of his freshman year in college with injuries. And almost every season, he's missing time either with knee injuries or shoulder injuries. There's been a ton of things that have plagued him and have prevented him from playing a full season. Not only is it injury related, there was a year where there was controversy around his decision to take the vaccine, which led to him not being able to play until the very end of the season. So there's a lot of headaches that come attached with Kyrie Irving. At an average pick of 13, the production is there to justify it, but I think there are safer picks, again, to avoid that headache. If you really like Kyrie, I'm not telling you he's not going to be great for your team, but you need to be aware of the red flags associated with picking someone like Kyrie with one of your first two picks. The next guy on my list is Domantas Sabonis. The issue with Domantas Sabonis is very similar to the issue I have with Giannis Antetokounmpo. He's hurting my free throw percentage, though not as badly as Giannis is. He's only getting me half a block per game. Fred VanVleet gets more than that. I'm also not getting any steals from him. I'm not getting any threes from him. The points, rebounds, and assists are very nice, but you're essentially giving up on 1, 2, 3, 4 different positions so that you can be strong at points, rebounds, assists, and field goal percentage. So there's a trade-off there. When you're picking him at an average pick of almost 17 in the categories league, there are other options I'd rather target. Like Jaren Jackson Jr. is right there. And if Jaren Jackson Jr. is there and I can pick between him and Domantas Sabonis, I just think it makes sense to grab Jaren Jackson Jr., who's going to get me threes, he's going to get me blocks, he's going to get me more steals. Yeah, he's not going to get me the same number of points, rebounds, and assists, but that's another reason why I like punt assist builds, because in a punt assist build, Domantas Sabonis is going to lose a lot of value. And I'm sure that's a controversial opinion, but the way that I play, and I keep harping on this, I don't like guys that hurt my free throw percentage, and I don't like guys that don't get me blocks. If they they are going to hurt my free throws. I really value steals. I really value blocks. I really value free throw percentage. I value low turnovers. So given that, someone like Domantas Sabonis just doesn't make sense for me. You need to figure out if he makes sense for you. Another guy you probably won't see on any of my teams is Kawhi Leonard. Now, Kawhi Leonard, when healthy, puts up some amazing production. Last season, he averaged 24 points, 6.5 rebounds, 3.9 assists. It's not about the production with Kawhi. With Kawhi Leonard, the issue is the lack of availability. We already heard him complaining about the new league policy about resting players, and he said, I'll play if I'm able to. So he's already pushing back on that. And when I'm hearing that, he's already letting me know I can't rely on him to be an 82 games in a season kind of guy. And I value that. Almost every season, you're dealing with injury concerns with Kawhi Leonard. You're dealing with rest games. And if the Clippers are doing well, those rest games tend to coincide with your fantasy basketball playoff, which you want to avoid. LeBron James has been on my list of do not draft players for a couple of years now. I haven't really regretted it yet. Similar to the other guys I've told you, the free throw percentage, it's meh, 76%. I mean, it's not the worst. But field goal percentage, I like. But he's getting me over 3 turnovers per game. He's only getting me 0.6 blocks. He's getting me under a steal per game. The 2.2 three-pointers made is nice. The points, rebounds, and assists are nice. The production is there. The issue with LeBron James is he's getting up there in age, and you're banking on the player with 20-plus years of experience to be reliable for your team. But over the last few seasons, LeBron James has not been as available as he was for the majority of his career. This guy used to be an Iron Man. It's not so much the case. Father Time is undefeated. LeBron James has given Father Time more blows than most other people have, but Father Time is still undefeated. And when the drop-off happens, I think it's going to happen quickly, just given historical NBA trends. Tim Duncan was a guy who was really old and still produced for your team until he didn't. Steve Nash, very similar story. With these really old players, the drop-off is sudden. And I have concerns that we might see that happen with LeBron James. If you don't agree with anything I'm saying, don't listen to me. But the people that have some pretty good feedback to share with me about how helpful it is. I'm just saying. The next player on my list is Victor Wembanyama. Now, the reason I'm telling you not to draft Wemby is because he has an average pick of 29.6 for a player we know absolutely nothing about. So, if you're grabbing him at pick 30, you're kind of tying yourself to the idea that he's going to produce at a top 30 level. Otherwise, why pick him at 30, right? I doubt he's going to produce at a top 30 level his first year in the NBA. He has all the raw tools. He has the skills, but you're talking about a pup in a man's league. Will he have a strong season? Sure. Will he have a top 30 season? I find that hard to believe. So because of that, am I going to take him at 30 when I can grab a more proven commodity that I've seen producing at a top 30 level for the last few years versus this relative unknown? In a dynasty league, yeah, that's a different story. But in a redraft league, at an average pick of 29.6, I think that's just too high with so much uncertainty. He's a rookie. We don't know what he's going to do. Do you agree with me? Do you disagree with me? Let me know in the comments. I always love to hear what you think. This next guy I have on a very similar boat to Domantas Sabonis. He can help you in certain areas, but there's other areas in which he's not as helpful. Last year, Julius Randle averaged 25 points per game, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, 2.8 three-pointers made, 0.6 steals, 0.3 blocks, 2.8 turnovers, 45% from the field, 75% from the free throw line. So there's some good there. The points, the rebounds, the assists, the three-pointers made, great. 2.8 turnovers, it's a little high given he's only getting me 4 assists. Almost 3 three-pointers from your big man, hard to be upset at. But at his volume of shooting, only hitting 46% of his shots, and he's one of my big men, and then you have only 75% from the free throw line, I find that he's a better contributor in real life than he is for fantasy teams in category. But even Yahoo has him projected to be number 64, and he's going at an average pick of 53.8. So, and I think that has a lot to do with those limitations that we're talking about as far as the free throw percentage and other areas which he's not really helping you. He's getting you under one stock, getting you under one for a big man. I just can't stomach that. Zion Williamson is a very interesting player when he's playing. He's incredibly efficient. He can score with the best of them. He can rebound. He can get you assists. Last season got 1.1 steals, only 0.6 blocks, did get you 3.4 turnover. But really low free throw percentage, only 0.2 three-pointers made per game. And he is a huge question mark as far as his health. He has a lot of name value. People are starting to shy away from Zion Williamson. And I would recommend potentially just going in a different direction and not grabbing him unless he falls maybe to 70, 75. If you are able to grab him there, I think there's enough upside. But still, I tend to avoid headaches when it comes to fantasy basketball. The more headaches you put together, the harder time you're going to have when things aren't working out. So this next guy was one of my favorite centers to draft. I've been a fan of his since his rookie year. I remember when I picked him up off the waiver wire, he helped me with my blocks. And then Enes Kanter got traded away and he became the starting center for the Utah Jazz. If you haven't pieced it together yet, I am talking about Rudy Gobert. So last season, Rudy Gobert averaged over 13 points and 11.6 rebounds. Thing with Rudy Gobert is he wasn't a great fit in Minnesota. There were players complaining about playing with him. He doesn't hit any threes for you. The 1.4 blocks, even though 1.4 is nice, Rudy Gobert is a guy you would grab in the pass to get you closer to 2 blocks per game. The field goal percentage is elite, but the free throw percentage is putrid. So he's not getting you assists, he's not getting you threes, and he's not getting you as many rebounds as he once did. The fit with Karl Anthony Towns is very questionable, and I think I'm avoiding picking him up. Yahoo has him as being projected in the top 94, and he's going at an average pick of 63.7. So does it make sense to grab Rudy Gobert? Possibly. This is a guy who in the past was a 20-25 caliber player, but we didn't see that Rudy Gobert last year. The Rudy Gobert I saw was a Rudy Gobert that I traded away and no longer wanted on my team. So because of the sour taste in my mouth, I'm probably going to stay away. The next guy on my list is actually suspended for the first 25 games of the season. This was all over the news. I'm sure you know the controversy of Ja Morant live stream and playing with some weapons he shouldn't have been playing with for the second time. So Ja Morant, probably somebody you're going to be avoiding this season unless he drops, where there's a possibility that he may drop. The thing with Ja Morant is, even when he is playing, there are some limitations to his game. Namely, the fact that his free throw percentage is very average and he draws a good volume of them. Over 3 turnovers per game, that's pretty high. 1.5 three-pointers made when most guards are hitting over 2 per game. 1.5 just doesn't hit the way that he... Yeah, he's getting you over a steal per game, but there's some holes there with the production. With the suspension, the questionable categories where he's hurting you a bit, because even the field goal percentage of 46% isn't awful, but he's not getting me a lot of threes. And if I'm going to take a hit to my field goal percentage, I want it to be because it's a guy that's getting me a lot of threes, someone like a Fred VanVleet. At an average pick of 74.7, considering the guy off rip is missing 25 games, I think you should go in a different direction. The next guy on my list is the point guard playing for the Golden State Warriors. I'm excited to see his fit next to Klay Thompson, next to Steph Curry. Look, let me bargain with you. If Chris Paul stays healthy, I don't think an average pick of 72 is all that bad. The guy helps you in so many different areas that I value. He gets me that high free throw percentage. He gets me 1.5 steals per game. He's getting me close to 2 three-pointers per game. He's getting me slightly more than Ja Morant. Still shy of that too, but last season got 9 assists, almost 14 points. He was very productive. The thing with Chris Paul is, not only is he very injury prone, he's almost as old as LeBron James. He's getting up there long in the tooth as well. So you're gambling on an aging, undersized point guard to stay healthy. And I don't know that he's capable of it. He didn't do it last year. I don't know that he does it this year. A lot of headaches associated with a player like that. When he's playing, I love the contributions he can make. And I love the pairing of him with Steph Curry, with Klay Thompson, and I think he's actually a wonderful fit. But around this 72 range, you have a lot of decent options, a lot of them younger, more reliable options as far as health. When playing, Chris Paul may be more productive than them, but when it comes to fantasy basketball, availability is simply the best ability. I'm curious what your thoughts are on the next guy I'm putting on this list, Mr. Jalen Green. So Jalen Green last year averaged 22.1 points, 3.7 assists, 3.7 rebounds, hit 2.5 three-pointers, less than a steal per game, only 0.2 blocks, 41% field goal, 78% from the free throw lines. I'm not happy with a free throw percentage at 78%. I like my guards to get me above 80%. 78% is what I expect from a big man that's decent at free throws. I like stronger free throw production. He's not getting me the steals. He's hurting my field goal percentage a lot. When you're shooting 41%, sure, he's getting you 22 points per game, but he's not helping enough in these other areas for me to stomach that poor of a field goal percent. He's going at an average pick of 78.1. He does have potential. He could take a leap. He could become more efficient and make me eat crow. I'm just avoiding him at an average pick of 78.1. If he fell to me around the 90, 95 range, I'd probably be comfortable taking a chance there. But at 78.1, there's just some other players that are a little bit more reliable, and I know what I'm getting. The next guy on my list is Mitchell Robinson, average pick of 94.7. He's projected to be 132 by Yahoo. So the free throw percentage, absolutely awful. Shot 48% last year. 0.7 turnovers, that I really like. The 1.8 blocks and the 0.9 steals. That's a really good combination of stocks that you're getting from Mitchell Robinson, but you're essentially getting nothing from assists. You're getting nothing from threes. A guy that's really hurting your free throw percentage. He's not scoring. He's getting under double digit rebounds. There are just some other players that I could pick around 94 that I like a little bit more than Mitchell Robinson. Mark Williams may be one of those targets. Now with Mitchell Robinson, if you want to bank on him being healthy, which is another question mark, the guy can get you a lot of steals and blocks, which I value. But at 94.7, do you want to gamble on the red flags that come attached with someone like Mitchell Robinson? I still think at that range, there are a lot of solid sleepers that would help your team out more and be a little more reliable as far as your calculations for the season. And the last guy I want to discuss in this video, actually, that's not true. I'm going to give you a bonus guy, so watch till the end. I'm going to give you this bonus guy. But Draymond Green is a player that I'm avoiding. Average pick of 97.8. He's just fallen off and is not the player he once was. So you grab Draymond because he's a center that can get you 7 assists per game. In the past, he would get you over a steal. He would get you over a block. And that production was great. But we've seen the steals and blocks dropping off. We've seen the threes drop off. He's only getting you half a three per game now. The field goal percentage at 52% is nice. 2.8 turnovers to 6.8 assists. Nice as well. But the free throw percentage isn't there. The threes aren't there. The scoring isn't there. And they've just added Chris Paul to the mix, which means we could see Draymond Green having the ball less and those assist numbers go down. He's already dealing with an ankle injury, so he's not going to start the season healthy. Given all of those factors, I don't think it makes sense to grab Draymond Green when there's other options available for you on the board. So this last guy has been on my Do Not Draft videos for years now. Very controversial player. I'm a bit of a hater of this player, going to be honest with you, but I just don't think he helps your fantasy basketball team. I think he hurts your team and has for years. So the guy I'm talking about is Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook finds himself back with the Los Angeles Clippers. He's projected to be number 213 according to Yahoo, and he's going at an average pick 110. That tells the story, and I trust Yahoo's projections. The thing with Russell Westbrook is he hurts you in so many different areas. You're getting 3.5 turnovers with. He's hurting your field goal percentage because he takes volume shots and he does so inefficiently. He's barely getting you over a three per game. He's getting you an awful free throw percentage from a guard. And I told you, I don't like guys that hurt my free throw percentage. And he more than hurts it. He annihilates it. His rebounding has fallen off. I don't know that we'll see double-digit rebounding from him again anytime soon. A lot of these statistics came on the Lakers, which, you know, you have LeBron, Anthony Davis. The usage wasn't as there for him. But on the Clippers team, that hasn't changed much. He has Kawhi Leonard. He has Paul George. There are some other players there who are going to have the ball a lot. Maybe that helps him with his efficiency, but even with some of the best players in the world, his efficiency has never been there. I wanted to put him on this list because I know it can be tempting to look at all of his past triple-doubles, look at his past success, look at the fact that he's an MVP. But even, you know, as recently as 2 or 3 years ago, I think he was a questionable option to have in categories leagues because he hurts you in so many different areas. And I keep stressing this to you. Sometimes it's better to grab guys that don't hurt you in many areas than to grab a guy that helps you a lot in certain areas and then just annihilate you in other. And when you have a guy hurting you this much in some important categories like free throw percentage, like turnover, like field goal percentage, while not getting you a lot of threes to make up for it, not getting you enough steals to really make up for it, and he's probably going to regress from these numbers that we're seeing right here. So if you're a Russell Westbrook fan, at an average pick of 110, I guess go for it, but you won't see him on any of my team. If you have not done so yet, treat that like button like a dime piece and smash it for your boy. Subscribe to Brock Lesnar Hoops if you have not yet. Click that bell notification so you can be alerted to when these videos drop. And please check out the draft guide from Brock Lesnar Hoops in collaboration with my guy XL. We do a deep, deep, deep analysis that helps you put together the strongest team for your fantasy basketball drafts, all right? That is the goal. We want to prepare you. We give you amazing insights. He gives you looks that I'm not seeing anywhere else. My guy XL is an analytical mastermind. He has been since the day I met him. It's part of the reason we get along so well. So check out the guide. It's only $9.99. And if you leave a comment below saying that you want to be entered in the drawing for the guide, one random commenter is going to get a free version of the guide as a gift from me to you. All right, I hope you enjoyed this video. I know you enjoyed this video. And if you didn't enjoy this video, thank you for being here and watching. Hope you give me another chance. Until next time, this is Brock Lesnar of Brock Lesnar Hoops. Peace out.